Welcome back to the Unending TBR podcast. On this week's episode, I have another author interview that I'm really looking forward to sharing with you. Thank you for joining me. This week, I would love you to welcome back Rachel D. Russell. Thank you for joining me again, Rachel.
Thanks for having me.
So we are here talking about the release of your second book in the Deep Haven series, Then Came You. And this is so special because it's with a character from another one of Susie's series. But I would like you to describe this story to someone who hasn't read the PJ Sugar series.
Sure. Well, and the PJ Sugar series is definitely worth a read. They're fantastic, funny, poignant stories. There is a little bit of a spoiler here because in those books, there's this great character named Boone Buckham, and Boone does not get the girl. Mm-hmm. And so, but even though you now know that, it's still worth, if you haven't read it, read the series, reading it. But that series, you know, Boone had it pretty rough. He had a lot of things going against him. So, you know, I would describe this as a story, you know, it does stand alone as far as you can read it and get to know Boone in this story. You don't have to have read the PJ Sugar series. And I do pull things from that book. I of course, we had to because that's where Boone came from. But, you know, 10 years, I think it's been about 10 years have passed since he was last in on the page. And the story brings him from Kellogg to Deep Haven. So it's got some humor, it's got suspense, and of course it's got the romance. And so I just think it's a really super sweet, fun story. And for those of us that did read the PJ Sugar series, it's gonna tie up some of those questions and loose ends we had for Boone when we left him last in Kellogg.
Okay. We're back. Now Zoom's going to act up. Okay. So I didn't get your question to pull the whole response to that first question.
Well, that was a good
practice
run. Let's see if I can remember what I just said. It's probably going to be shorter the second time around.
Okay. So to somebody who has read this series, PJ Sugar, one of Susan May Warren's earlier books, we get a character from there, but how would you describe and introduce this character that you have to somebody who hasn't read those books yet?
So you mean who is Boone?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Boone is a super loyal, super committed guy. He's got this heart of gold and really strives for achievement and perfection. And, the book kind of delves into the layers of why he feels that way. But that's really, he's just a really great heroic character.
Mm-hmm. I loved his loyalty in the PJ Sugar books. I mean, that's part of I really, really liked his character. So I was so happy that you were able to take him and give him a story because he's needed it. So this is the first time one of you guys in the Sunrise Media has taken an actual, you guys have made up new fictional characters and brought them to Deep Haven. But this is the first time you've taken an already existing character, am I correct?
Yeah, we've had other, characters appear as kind of supporting roles in our story, but this is the first time what I consider a major character from a different story series that we get to write. I got to write his story.
So how was that process for you?
And, you know, I started out super, super excited because, you know, from when I first read PJ Sugar in early 2018, I was like waiting, looking, searching, hoping Susie had the story. Mm-hmm. And, excuse me, she'd moved on from that. And so I was super excited when she said yes to my request. And then the weight of it just hit me like, not, you know, it wasn't about me just writing the story just to make my own heart happy. I had to write the story so everybody else that, you know, was going to read it would be satisfied as well. And that's a huge burden because he is such a great character and all the nuances of who he is. We only ever saw him through PJ's eyes. We were never in his head. Mm-hmm. So, that was, you know, a little tricky. But I read, you know, I used my Kindle and I literally went through the entire series, PJ Sugar series, at least 5 times because I would listen to it, the voice to text. And yeah. while I'm doing my regular day job, I'm listening to it. While I'm out for my walks, I'm listening to it, just trying to digest the entire story and the details. And then I would use Kindle's highlight feature. So I could, every detail about him, every mention of his past and his character traits, I literally had this printout of all my highlighted sections of that documented who he was, and you know, just use that to help build him.
And I did not realize until I was like, I'm embarrassed to say, I was halfway through the book. And then it all of a sudden dawned on me, we never got his point of view. It's just PJ's point of view through the whole series. And that really made it come alive. It's like, oh, this is why it seems so vibrant, is because it's him being able to tell it. So that was super special. I mean, yeah, I really loved what you did with the character. And I really think that you, it's a great way to how it almost feels like you have enough of his past and sort of what happened, enough that you didn't give away too many spoilers of all the drama in that story. But it can feel like a standalone type thing where you could just pick this up and not be lost and still right. just really enjoy his character. So that was super fun. But now when I was realized, like, oh, it's Boone's book. But how did you come up with Vivian, the heroine in that book? Because I mean, that had to have been hard on its own right to make somebody for him then.
Well, and it was even a little trickier because Vivian already existed as well. She was a minor character in Amelia Christensen's story, The Wonder of You. And she shows up on the scene. She's this very, you know, glamorous girl. She's driving some producer's vintage Mustang. She's had a little too much to drink at the wedding. And, you know, we learn a little bit about her, but not a whole lot. We know she's done the local pageant. And mm-hmm. she's had some failures when it comes to her acting. And so, you know, again, I had to do some reverse engineering and figure out, you know, what had led to those things. And then she appears a little bit in Crazy for You, and which is the book just prior to this one. And so again, pulling in anything that she did in that book to tie in to make sure we had a consistent character. And, you know, because she had that dramatic flair about her, it was really fun to play with that. You know, in some ways, there's a little bit of PJ Sugar-esque to her, which made her a really good match for Boone. And it was a lot of fun to put the dynamics of those two together.
I saw how many times you worked the word trouble into it. I saw that. And that was really cool.
Hopefully it wasn't too many.
It wasn't too many. It fit, but you know, somebody who's read it and gets it, it's like, it's fun little Easter eggs. So
yeah,
which makes this so much fun. I really like too how you really, you know, not that they were going through the same issues, but how they were both, they had very similar growth that they need, that both Boone and Vivian needed to do. How did you come up with themes of identity for this story?
A lot of it happened naturally based on what I had to work with from who they had been on the page. You know, for Boone, he's really striving to measure up and earn his place. And, you know, mm-hmm. Vivian, similarly, she's these expectations and her failures and just feeling like she's in the spotlight. All the eyes are on her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how I did want to make them, you know, distinct and different in their experience, you know, how that shows up for them on the page. But, you know, the identity factor is definitely a big deal for each of them.
Yeah. And that's true. And I think that that's true for any of us. You know, we can always let something crowd our identity or shift where our identity should be. So I like seeing that because I feel like it's relatable to everybody, but it looks different for everybody, just like right. how you did it with the characters. So also because they both had a past and history, how do you feel like this story shows how we shouldn't live too much in the past thinking of, oh, I should have done this, or what might have happened?
There is a lot of psychology. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, go ahead. I'll listen to psychology.
I mean, just there's a lot of psychology about how we speak to ourselves with those shoulds and should mm-hmm. haves, and how we really shackle our potential that way. And, you know, when each of the characters, when they find how they can root themselves in Christ, the same way, you know, we can root ourselves in Christ and live for Christ instead of our own accolades and achievements and the expectations we have of ourselves or we think other people have of us, how it really allows God to do amazing things in our lives. And it's scary to step out of those expectations because as hard as they are and as much as we struggle with them, it's also kind of be our comfort zone. And, you know, in some ways those achievements can become our idols because we feel like it gives us our place in the world. So I really wanted to focus on how they could find a way to let go of those fears to really embrace more, because there's actually so much more for them that's out there.
Yeah. I love that. True. And it's when you were talking about that, it's like, oh, in the past, we know the past, you know, it's like so many times the future feels so uncertain, you know, it's unknown, but yeah, I love that about it. So how was this, writing this book in comparison to book one?
You know, in some ways it was easier, in some ways it was harder. It mm-hmm. did feel a bit different, you know, now, and you know, I had these two characters that already existed. So there was a lot more, kind of strategizing that part of it, as well as incorporating. Now we have three other novels, the first three books in this new Deep Haven collection, and those characters are starting to reappear again. So making sure the details are straight and, you know, we keep adding more to it. So it's that much more to keep track of and to ensure we're keeping consistent as we go.
It is like, it's funny because it's like, now it's like snowballing up because you have so many of these characters, which is great for us readers. But yes, I can imagine the challenge. So I have a very serious question about this thing. I want to know about cauliflower pizza, which makes a makes an appearance in this. And I'm like, of all the pizzas I have had, I've never had a cauliflower crust. Have you ever had it? Yes or no?
I have.
Is it worth it? And is it good?
You know, it's all right. So that
I was with Boone, like, cauliflower crust.
That was a bit of a little Easter egg that, so my husband would not touch a cauliflower crust pizza. And so as I was, you know, shaping the scene, just some of our funny conversations and, you know, the side eyes that the veggies get at this house, I just really wanted to have some fun with that, but I actually don't eat gluten. So a cauliflower crust is not that unusual for me, but does it compare to the real deal? It doesn't.
Okay. Okay. Well, good to know. I mean, it's great that there's options. Oh, so, and now I'm going to be probably like a terrible reader, because it's like you've gone to all this stuff and you keep on like, now I feel like you've created a monster in me, because I'm looking at all these side characters that are side characters to side character stories and thinking, oh, what about them? Are you going to write them? And I would really like to know if there are any plans for Beth in the future.
Yes, there are. I'm actually working on Beth's story right now.
Oh my goodness. I really enjoyed her. You know, I was like, she's one of those characters who really made her like pop out in her own. Okay. Definitely.
I'm glad she left an impression.
Okay, so that rolls right into my next. She did. I mean, I always have loved stories about like librarians and book lovers and stuff like that. And just Beth's character. Oh, she was that fun little bit in there. And so that's my next question. What's next for you? What are you working on now?
So when we last spoke in January, I was starting to look forward at writing David's story. David's a character that had appeared in Still the One. And I've since signed another contract with Sunrise to continue kind of an extended Deep Haven collection. So
right.
There's going to be three more novels that we're releasing in 2023. And we changed up the order. So Beth is a kayak instructor as well as working at the library. And I wanted to be able to make sure I could incorporate some of the outdoor adventures into her story. And because the first book will be a winter story, Andrea Christensen was gracious enough to swap spots with me. So she will have that winter book and mine will be a springtime book. And so that will include Beth's story. I'm actually traveling. I will have traveled probably by the time this posts, but working, I've done my plotting already for that story, and we'll be presenting that to Susie for her thumbs up and input and insights. And then I will be spending the rest of the year writing that story, and those release in 2023. So I'm hoping in 2022, I can rewrite one of my books I wrote prior to Sunrise and maybe indie publish that.
That's right. Because yeah, it's going to be spin up. It's, and that'll be like outside Sunrise. It's just pure indie. You're going to go, you're going to go for the Wild West.
The Wild West. We'll see how it all pans out and how much time I have. You know, it could be that I end up doing something different. It's so hard to know how long this story is going to take me to write and get through. So it is my primary focus, but, you know, just looking at the calendar thinking, well, you know, readers want to read, and I would hate to see the entire year of 2022 go by without being able to provide something, even if it's a novella or a Christmas story, something that I can share with readers.
That's really, and it's fun because, you know, as read, like from a reader's perspective, I know there's a couple readers that I know that it's like, I'm, you know, waiting over a year or something like that. And I do think that it's like, once you've done something that readers do like, I feel like readers will wait, like they will be there.
Yeah.
I think so. Because I know I'll wait, no problem. Well, cause I get it's a lot of work on you guys. And I mean, he's been so rapid fire this year. Must be a whirlwind.
Yeah, they really have been. It was a challenging year to write these, but I'm really excited with how they've all turned out. It's been a great experience.
Has your like writing pace been relatively like the same for this? Do you feel like you have kind of like a timeline that you do stuff?
I am working to set up a better schedule with my writing because it was very much by the seat of my pants during 2020, and then as I finished, then came you in 2021, because I have my day job, and then I was writing, and I would just fill every spare space of my life with writing, and to the detriment a bit of my health and life balance. So I've been really working at figuring out what's the best time. And, you know, really what held me back sometimes was just a lack of confidence. And, you know, I've been really working hard to just allow my writing to be a time of worship and letting it just be ugly on the page when it is, and then rewriting it and not being so afraid, you know, so much like the characters, afraid of doing it wrong and messing it up or being a failure, just really trusting that God has a plan for this. And I don't have to write it perfect the first time. That's why there's rewrites and edits and proofreads and all the different layers that come together.
Oh, yeah. That's great. I'm really glad. And I mean, you need to relax. You need to relax. I mean, look at what happened to Boone. He needed to relax. Right. Take a page from one of your characters, go to a lake, read a book.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, well, I really thank you for talking with me. Looking forward to everybody being able to read this one. Cause yeah, that was such a fun, just such a fun trip back, and I appreciate it.
No, oh, thank you.
And are you still in all the same places, social media wise, for people to find you?
I am, yes. And let's see. Again, though, I still don't have them memorized. So I'm at Rachel D. Russell Writes on Instagram, which is generally where I'm most active. And then Facebook is Rachel D. Russell Fiction.
Okay, awesome. And thank you again. Looking forward to the next trip.
All right. Thank you for having me. It's been fun.